Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. For anyone born in Boston, since 1993, they have known only one mayor, Tom Menino. He's run the city for the past 20 years, so forget names like Fitzgerald, White, or Flynn. There is now an entire generation that has grown up and come of age knowing only Mayor Menino.
We don't know yet if he's going to run for an unprecedented sixth term, but the expectation is that he will, because running the city seems like a tough habit for him to give up. So the sun rises, the sun sets, and Tom Menino is and will be the mayor of Boston, right?
Well, not if John Connolly has anything to say about it. Yesterday, the 39-year-old Boston city councilor kicked off his campaign to be the next mayor of Boston, saying it's time for new ideas and new energy. So he's daring to challenge that long Menino legacy, and he's putting reform of the city's public schools at the center of his campaign.
Which makes sense, looking at his resume. Connolly was a teacher in New York and Boston before he became a lawyer and then jumped into politics. He went to Harvard and BC Law School, and he comes from a family where politics must have been a regular topic at the dinner table. His father is former Secretary of the Commonwealth Michael Connolly, and his mother, Judge Linda Connolly.
Well, now it's our turn to talk politics with City Councilor-at-Large John Connolly, candidate for mayor. He joins us right now. And John Connolly, welcome to Radio Boston. It's great to have you in. It's great to meet you.
Thanks for having me on, Anthony. Appreciate it. Thanks, Meghna.
And we want to get our listeners involved in this conversation. This is your chance to talk Boston politics. We want to hear from you. What do you make of John Connolly's run for City Hall? Can you imagine Boston without a mayor other than Tom Menino? Is Connolly right that after 20 years it's time for new ideas and new energy? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, John Connolly, let's jump right in. I know you just announced yesterday you've already been asked this question probably 50 times, but let's assume that Tom Menino is going to run again, whether you like him or not, agree with him or not, disagree with him or not. One thing we know for sure is Tom Menino knows how to win. Can you beat him?
Yeah, look, well, for starters, I do like him, and I like him an awful lot. But to the question right after that, I disagree with him on some key issues, particularly when it comes to our Boston public schools and how we run them. I think we need to make big changes there. I think it ties directly to the future of the city. If we're not going to be bold about our approach to public schools, then we're going to put a low ceiling on our future in the city. And that goes to why I think I can win. I don't know if he's going to run again. Mm-hmm. But whatever the field is, including if he decides to run again, I can win this campaign because I'm the first politician in my 40 years in Boston, in my memory, who's actually going to focus on the schools and talk about making bold changes in the schools. And I think people in this city, particularly people in my generation in Boston, will respond to that message.
When you talk about your generation, it sounds like what you're talking about is not only winning over a bunch of folks who may have spent the last 20 years supporting Tom Menino, but also really trying to attract a new generation of voters, convince a new generation of folks to care about politics in Boston.
I think that's right. And when we look to the model campaign to run, we really look at President Obama's reelection campaign and obviously his campaign before that as well. But the ability to bring young voters and the ability to get people across all walks of life invested and engaged in a campaign is what we're hoping to do. And so I've talked a lot about the need for me to bring younger voters in to the process. And when I say that, I sometimes mean voters who are older than me. I'm 39. I need 43-year-olds to vote in this
really
election.
Really old guys.
Like you wouldn't believe. And when you look at the numbers, they don't vote at that high of a rate. Mm. I want those 33-year-olds and those 23-year-olds to vote too. But that 43-year-old who's got, you know, two kids age 3 and 4, like me, and is about to make that decision. Am I going to stay in Boston or am I going to move out of Boston? Well, if you want to stay, then you ought to elect me mayor. And I think my campaign is going to look different in terms of we'll have moms and dads out there on the doors who have never worked in campaigns before, asking people to vote for me.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit about Tom Menino. He's 70 years old. He's been the mayor for 20 years. We know that he's had some health issues over the past year. By calling for new energy, and let me just dispense with this question right off the top, are you making an issue, are you implying that he might not be up to the job?
No, not at all. He's up to the job. There's no doubt about it. And you know, as I always say, or as I've said a lot over the past couple of days, look, I love him. Mm. Who doesn't if you live in Boston? His commitment to the city is unquestionable. You know, eats, sleeps, and breathes the life of this city. And he's somebody I've got to work with, and I've learned from him. I respect him deeply, and he's up to the job. The health is not an issue for me at all. You'll never hear my campaign raise it. But I think if we're going to focus on Boston's future, there comes a time after 20 years when you want to get new folks into leadership to bring a new energy and a new perspective and a new resolve to city government. That's natural and should be the way for all municipalities. And on top of that, where I have my sharpest disagreements with him on our schools, I think that requires a different philosophy and approach than he has.
Well, let's talk about that. But first, I want to remind listeners, we're talking to City Councilor John Connolly. He's a candidate for mayor. Give us a call, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Do you agree with John Connolly that it's time for fresh energy in City Hall? And can you imagine this city without Mayor Tom Menino? So, John, you're putting reform of the schools at the center of your campaign. Mayor Menino has put a lot of effort into this as well, and I guess he can take credit for some progress. MCAS scores are up, graduation rates are up, more kids are going to college. So, arguably, we're headed in the right direction in this city. Isn't this just a question of, I don't know, giving it more time rather than changing course?
I disagree. And I'll say the pace of change is far too slow. I'm a Boston Public School parent. My daughter, goes into kindergarten at the Trotter School in Roxbury every day. That's a school that's working, and it's doing great things. And you can find schools around this city that are doing things the right way. So I don't want to ignore those successes. But on the whole, this district is not headed in the right direction. And one thing that you always have to keep in mind is there is a steady flow of public relations that come out of the school department talking about all these good things. But when you look closer and you scratch beneath the surface, you see a whole different story. And let me just give you one sense of this. When you cut through all the data, one thing that you will see is for students who enter ninth grade in BPS this year, right now, ninth graders, okay, if everything projects out as is right now and that accepts all these supposed good things that are happening, only a quarter of those ninth graders are going to have a college degree in 10 years. 25%, and that includes our exam school students. We look at our third grade ELA score in MCAS, because everybody talks about this MCAS growth. That's the one that really becomes the bellwether for literacy and whether we've moved our students from learning to read to reading to learn, as a lot of teachers would say. Only 37% advanced or proficient. So that means right there, 63% are needs improvement or failing. 63% of our third graders there. We're coming up well short across the board in this system. And I think a lot of the things that are touted as signs of progress are really just sort of artificial objects that we kind of give a bright, shiny feel to.
All right. So with regard to those challenges that a lot of city school districts have across the country, what specifically has Mayor Menino done wrong in this regard? And give us, I don't know, two or three things that Mayor Connolly would do to improve those numbers.
So the teacher's contract was just signed at the direction of the mayor. And it was a prolonged negotiation, and I was deeply involved in lobbying for changes on it. But at the end of the day, the mayor went and cut a deal on the teacher's contract when he could have directed the superintendent to implement the last best offer. And in so doing, would have been able to get our children a longer school day. We have one of the shortest school days in the country, 5 hours and 10 minutes of instruction time a day, well behind the charter schools, but also well behind almost every other urban district in the country. Mm. 5 hours and 10 minutes of instruction time per day. It's not enough for our kids to get the skills that they need. So I think he really let us down on that end. And then the second piece that I would point to, we have these hiring restrictions in which seniority is really the dominant factor in how we hire our teachers. And I love our teachers, and I know they go in the classroom and work hard every day, and I think they ought to be incredibly well paid. But I don't think a teacher ought to be able to just go in the classroom because he or she has more seniority. We ought to be focused on the quality of the teaching, and I meet teachers and parents all the time who talk to me, such as a group of parents in Dorchester, about losing an amazing art teacher, or the teacher in South Boston who was teacher of the year and lost his position because he didn't have enough seniority.
Of course, this is an issue. It's almost like the third rail sometimes when a politician gets involved in this issue. But it sounds like would a Mayor Connolly be prepared to really take on the unions in a way that
Mayor Connolly would have directed the superintendent to implement the last best offer on that contract, and that contract would have had a longer school day, and it would have had hiring, it would have had more hiring flexibility, and we would have got the job done there. And the last piece where I've got a big issue, we spend $1 billion a year in the school department, and not nearly enough of it gets down to the school site level. How do you spend $1 billion and you can't get every kid arts, music, science on a regular basis?
Well, we've got some callers that want to get in on this conversation. So let's go to Lawrence, who's calling from West Roxbury. Hi, Lawrence. You're on the air with City Councilor John Connolly.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Councilor Connolly.
I
heard your early remarks that you made with your host there, and I wonder whether or not you're going to throw those of us who are 55 and over under the bus. And I'll take my question off the air.
He's asking that because you're talking about reaching out to those younger voters.
I'm sorry, my earphones, I didn't have them.
Oh, so Lawrence was asking, he's been listening to you and he heard your appeal to younger voters. Are you, do you plan to throw all of us 55 and under, 55 and over under the bus?
No, absolutely not. And Lawrence, you live with my parents out there in West Roxbury who are in the 60 and over category, and I'm certainly hoping they're going to vote for me. But no, listen, I want to work for Boston. I said it in my announcement yesterday. I want to make sure everyone from the young professional and the young artist to the empty nester to our seniors, and I know you don't fall in that group at your age yet, but everybody who's living in Boston, I think, can benefit from new ideas and new leadership. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to get people who don't typically vote to come in and vote, though. No, I'm going to work hard for everyone in Boston. I want to make sure everyone can benefit from making the choice to live here.
Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Winthrop. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mr. Connolly, I'm wondering if I could ask a question about your plans for the school, since you seem to be focusing very much on that.
Sure.
I run an independent educational company, and we do a summer engineering program where we train high school students in principles of engineering, and this obviously is happening before they ever set foot in a college classroom. So one of the things that is a huge boon to my organization is when I can form partnerships with schooling systems so that we can improve the performance of math and science students from that system and create a skilled, technologically skilled workforce for tomorrow. But also we get more students, which brings in more funding, which makes us able to run a better program. I'm wondering if partnerships between organizations like mine and the Boston Public Schools would be possible in a Connolly administration.
John Connolly.
Absolutely. I think that's vital to making Boston the city that did it, closed the achievement gap, brought middle-class families back in unprecedented numbers, and became the best public school system in the country, not just urban, but best public school system in the country. We have so much talent in this city. We would have to tap into our partners to do it. And the caller obviously knows STEM education very well. We're not doing nearly enough in Boston right now to give our kids quality STEM education. And that means we're depriving them of the skills they need to go out and compete in today's job market and tomorrow's job market. One thing we've done, unfortunately, with the short school day is we've had to spend a lot of our partnership resources on trying to lengthen that school day at really just a very few schools. When if we got a longer school day, which the mayor could have made sure happened, then we could have used our partnerships and the money required in other areas, such as expanding STEM education.
Steve, thanks for that call. Let's talk about school assignment, an issue that is fraught with difficulty and controversy and history in this city. Mayor Menino convened a special committee, as we know, that's just proposed a new system that's designed to allow more kids to attend school closer to their neighborhoods. This proposal is going to be presented to the school committee tonight, actually. What's your view on this? Good idea? This is being touted by some as sort of the boldest redesign of the school assignment system in the city's history.
Well, I was deeply involved in this issue. I've lived this. And let me, and I think I was here once before and talked about this, but, my wife and I go into this school lottery. We visit close to 20 schools. We list over 10 schools on our form, and at the end of it, we get a letter that says, sorry, we don't have a seat for your daughter. We just basically, by virtue of being a city councilor and sort of having access to more information in terms of what's going on, not insider stuff, but just sort of knowing what's going on, end up in the second round of the lottery getting placed at the Trotter School. But at this point, we've already visited 20 schools and, gone through a real serious effort to only be told we don't have a seat for your child. Most families at that point, very understandably, just throw their hands up in the air and give up, and a lot will move out. Here's the problem with this process that just happened. It's not going to solve the problem. Well, I joined with a coalition of 5 elected officials about midway through this process when they were way off the rails, and we put an alternative plan on the table called the Quality Choice Plan. Mm-hmm. And one thing that our plan understood was, one, it's got to be focused on school quality. So absolutely, let's give kids the option to go to school close to home. But if you're not elevating quality at every school across the city, you're not going to be able to build a consensus to get it done. There's no real school quality plan in the plan that was passed the other night and goes to the school committee now. But the second key piece that we recognized in our plan was, if you're not addressing the capacity issue, if you're not making sure you've got seats for people, you can pass a plan and put a press release out that says it's a bold new reform. 2 years from now, I guarantee you we're going to have parents sitting on wait lists at schools because they don't have enough seats, and they're going to be saying, wait, what was all this fuss about reform? Why am I number 100 on the wait list at the school right near where I live? And so that's still a problem here.
Does that mean we're going to have to, if you were mayor, or would you?
I would implement the plan that we put on the table, the quality choice plan.
And so scrap this one that's pretty much being proposed right now.
Right, which isn't going to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be touted as this bold reform, but it fails to address either quality or a guaranteed seat close to home. It doesn't really get to either of them. It's just window dressing. The other piece underlying that a lot of folks don't realize, $500 million hole on deferred maintenance in our public schools, $1.2 billion in needed new construction. This is a school district on Mayor Menino's watch that has functioned without a long-term capital facilities plan for as long as I've been in office, which is almost 6 years now, has serious problems with that. And that goes right to school assignment. If you don't have your facilities in line, kids are going to continue to languish on wait lists. We're going to continue to lose families from the city.
Well, John Connolly, there's a lot of other stuff I'd like to talk to you about, including violence in the city, jobs. We're going to have you back because our time is pretty much coming to an end. I just have one more question sort of finally. In jumping into this race, you're taking a big risk. You have to give up your city council seat. You're pursuing a path that 3 previous city councilors dared to take and lost. I know you said that you're in it to win, but what's your plan B? What's your plan B if Menino prevails?
I think I've heard the phrase, the best sailors never learn to swim. let me say, there is no plan B. I'm running to win. That's why I'm here. And I am going to get this message out across the city. And I'm going to win in November. Whoever runs, because Boston's future depends on our schools, and we can transform them with bold leadership. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's John Connolly, city councilor at large. He's a candidate for the mayor of Boston. John, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Stay with us up next. With union membership on the decline, is the age of organized labor coming to an end? I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.